Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we speak with Andy Dooley. Andy seems to do it all. He's a fitness professional. He was the face of Reebok One. He served as a pastor and family mentor. He is an in-game entertainment stadium host for the Seattle Seahawks. And now he's written a devotional book about sports. We have a ton to talk about. So let's get started.
Hey, we're so excited to have Andy with us today. Andy, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Yeah, sport's been a part of my life since I was five. My dad was in the military, and we started playing football, tackle football at that, at 5 years old. And from that point on, just fell in love with sports and being active, watching my dad, you know, prepare for when he would leave in the Army. So he'd be running all the time. Moving, we would be right behind him trying to catch up with him. And then as the years progressed, I started playing basketball, martial arts, boxing, track, you name it. It was just, we stayed active, and I'm thankful for it because it kept us out of trouble for most part, you know. And it's just continued through my adulthood. You know, I played college football and basketball, then after I forego going to try to do the pro thing, I had to listen to the Lord. I stayed active, and then in 2016 became the face of Reebok, and I'm still active. And now I coach my little my son and my daughter's flag football. I am connected with the Seahawks. I do a little stuff with that, and I just love football. I love sports. Period.
There's so much there that I want to ask about, and I can't wait to do that. But before that, tell us about your life, faith in your life.
Yeah, my mom and dad were both pastors, so kind of grew up in a household. I'm a PK, if some of you guys know, you know what that means. And just grew up with them teaching us the Bible and trying to learn on our own as well. Because once I went to college, that was like shell shock, because you're in this like this fantasy world where parents aren't there. You're trying to understand and keep the base that they created in your life. But then you're also experimenting, checking out, seeing things for the first time. So that was up and down for a while. And then after college, it really solidified again and became solid. And then I started really getting connected to my church and doing youth ministry, becoming a youth pastor, and just have a love for theology, have a love for the Bible, and continually growing. I'm super hungry right now. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. The idea that, you know, college, we think it's going to be one way, and then all of a sudden our support systems are not there, and we have some navigating to do. We have some growing up to do.
Truly.
And it'll be interesting to hear more of your story. One, I'd like to know where all this is happening. I'm not sure where you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up.
But also, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, in Lima, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was born in Hawaii.
We won't hold that against you. Yeah. Oh. I mean, being from Michigan, we'll slack. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, I guess
this is
where
we
end.
We should have talked about that before. This is it. Great to meet you, or not really.
Pleasure, yeah. But not really. Yeah, sorry, absolutely. Not sorry.
Exactly. Other than being from Ohio and having that sort of burden to bear, tell us something about your life that maybe people don't know, or some hobby, something of interest outside of sports, maybe.
Yeah, I'm a gamer, love playing video games. I love anime, and I love to draw. Drawing was my first love, actually, before sports or anything, sketch drawing and all of that kind of stuff. So, and I took Japanese.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a little bit of an artistic bent.
Yeah.
World language, which is also interesting. So at this point, though, you've started to kind of lay out how your worlds of faith and sport intersect. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it led you to write a book, and we can start there if you want. But I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how you saw those two overlapping when you were a kid. Sports and faith.
Yeah. The way it overlapped was my mom and dad were huge on humility and making sure I was always second to God. It doesn't matter what it was. It was, yes, you had a great game, but you give glory to God because without God, you couldn't do this. Or making sure you're praying before games, praying throughout the week, seeking God first so that God is first in your life. And that was instilled at a very young age. And thank God my parents did that, because even those tough times through college, I had to rely on God, because that was what that's the only thing I knew. That was what I was exposed to. And I knew that if I'm going to go through these tough times, at least I know I have a solid foundation in Christ.
So you said humility is important.
Yeah.
And of course that's a foundation, right? And what great parents you have that instilled that in you. I'm going to ask you to brag a little bit about yourself. Like, talk to us about some highlights for you and some moments where that you look back on and say, you know what, that was really good in sport. I'm going to ask you something similar later on with faith, but in terms of like sport, some moments that you really look back on with pride.
Gracious. Okay. That's a good question. Mm. I would say, well, you know, in high school, I ended up becoming a pretty highly touted athlete. And, you know, there was a summer where the news followed me throughout the summer. This was like from when I woke up in the morning, they checked out my entire day. And that year, I ended up having an incredible year, but I ended up getting hurt. So there was adversity. One of the biggest things, and then I bounced back and I had a awesome senior year where I got a full ride scholarship. So that moment, signing, you know, my letter of intent to go play D1 ball was something I'll never forget. Scoring my first touchdown against Akron University and my parents being in the stands to witness it. So it was one of those things where all those years of sacrifice, them going to all my games, me flying for AAU basketball to Vegas and North Carolina, Orlando, all these places. And to be in that moment where my parents can watch me score a touchdown, their son get a full ride scholarship. It just was kind of like, it was worth it, guys, you know? And just sports is just, throughout my life, like I mentioned earlier, I became the face of Reebok in 2016. So I represented the brand there. And I was through athleticism and also now becoming an in-game host for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and you could tell your parents that your answer passed the humility test. that was, you know, we were waiting for, you know, you to pull highlights out and show us on your phone.
Oh, gosh,
but
no.
You didn't do that. I appreciate that. That's good. Yeah, and the other thing I kind of picked up on early is you said, I love theology. No, most people don't say that, mm-hmm. right? Tell me what you mean by that. What does theology mean to you? What sort of anchor points do you have when you think about theology? What perspectives?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact of getting to know God. You know, just it's one thing to say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. Speaking about it, telling people about Christ, but without the relationship or getting to learn who God is or going deeper into word study, it just brings a different layer to the knowledge of who God is. And how is it applicable to our everyday life? You know, it's one thing to open up your Bible and check off, okay, I read Matthew today. What did Matthew say? What was the times like during that time? Could you actually put yourself in Matthew's shoes? And then when you go over to Luke, like they tell the same stories, but it's completely different. You know, you have different perspectives. And nowadays we're dealing with so many, you know, questions and dark times. And a lot of this is in the Bible already. This was already spoke about. So we're, a lot of us are freaking out, but if you open up that Bible and then just took time to marinate on the scripture, even like, I love being able to read one verse in multiple translations, just back and forth, go through it and then see the different nuances. And then what does that actually, what does that word when actually mean in that scripture? And so I don't want to nerd out on this, but but
it, no, don't hold yourself back. Yeah,
but it, I mean, I have a newfound love for that, because I didn't necessarily have that in depth of study as a when I was younger. You know, where now I can dive in deep. And I was just looking at a YouTube video on, should you go get a theology degree, or what's the difference? You know, because now a lot of times people will go get a theology degree just so that they could become a pastor. It doesn't have to be that way. And do you have the time to actually pursue that? I have a family. There's four kids, you know? Yeah, four kids. you guys didn't know, but I think one of the hosts looked at me like, what?
Four?
Four. Yeah, there's six of us total in this house. So,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're getting into theology here, you're nerding out on us and we love it. Mm-hmm. This is the show, right? This is what we love. And you're the face of Reebok. I guess I don't even know what that means exactly. Yeah, you're an in-game host for the Seahawks. Like, you're doing all these public-facing things. Yeah. Like, how does your faith impact how you do those things?
It keeps me grounded. And again, you know, scriptures, without vision, it gives me vision. So I know what I can say yes to and what I can say no to, regardless, because of who I am. And I'm not compromising that. But I also can show athletes, people who are looking at me as a public figure, that you could just still be yourself. And if God is in your life, and he's the center of your life, you can still represent Christ and still be in these positions. You have to make sacrifices, but that's part of the deal. If you want to eventually, you know, get to heaven one day, I mean, some of these sacrifices here on earth is so much more worth, hey, you know what? I can't go to that party. I can't do that. I can't take those type of chances because I don't want to jeopardize my eternal future, you know, so that those worlds collide and there are sacrifices, but it's worth it and you can do it. It's just, you have to know what your priorities are. I'll have people ask me, I'll be on a TikTok live and they'll ask me, hey, how, I only have 132 followers. How can I become a celebrity or have 1 million followers? And then my next question is, why? Why do you want to be a celebrity? Like, why do you want to be so popular? If you get those things right now, what are you going to do with it? What would that look like for you? And if you go stand in the mall and there's 132 people standing around you, please tell me that's not a lot of people. Hmm. So worry about those 132. Actually have some depth, some value to add to people. So then they can be able to, you'll grow just organically because they can see that you actually care about them. And that's a whole different conversation in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about adding value, right, in that space. And I wonder too, God gave you gifts as a person in sport. And now as an analyst, a person who can promote sport. And if we go back to, you know, the time of the early church, mm-hmm. the Seattle Seahawks of the time were the ancient games, mm-hmm. right? And Paul took note of them. In fact, Paul referred to sport a number of times in the New Testament. He talked about, and most of that was what we would call the Greek games, but by that time had become the Roman games, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder, when you think about what you see day to day, what you see in your role, your, you know, what used to be your role with Reebok and the promotion of sport, professional, you see professional sport all the time with the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. If you were to use that as a way of seeing the world or a way of kind of reflecting back on your faith, what do you think sport offers sort of the athlete? What do you think sport offers the casual fan? Mm-hmm. And maybe how do you think sport might distract or detract from faith in those for those people?
Yeah. Okay. Sport offers discipline. You can't be an athlete, a successful athlete, without being disciplined, period. It gives you a work ethic that's different. And those who don't have it, you can obviously see them be set apart. It also provides a platform. I know Charles Barkley back in the day was like, I'm not a role model. You don't get to choose that. You know, like, in that position, you are a role model of some kind. And you're an influencer. That's what they call it now. You're an influencer. And at the end of the day, you have a platform where you can, people are going to listen to you. They're going to pay attention to your actions. They're going to see how you respond to adversity, how you act, how do you talk to people, how do you treat people. You're on a microscope all the time. The second one was, what was the second one?
Well, I just wanted to know if there were things that sport maybe could have a negative effect.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, sport can have a negative effect in so many, because now you're open to so many more experiences that others aren't. And people are attracted to the glitz and the glam, so they want to be connected to you. And it's not even because of you a lot of times. It's just what comes with you. You know, you attract people. You may attract extra finances, clout, and people want that. For those who aren't exposed to that on a regular basis, will try to cling on to you just so they can live through you or reap the benefits of it, or even receive the drop-offs of, because brands send you stuff all the time, okay? And over time, it just becomes clutter. And then you give it away. I give a ton of stuff away. And if you're close to that person, you're going to receive it, you know? And then unfortunately, it's tough for athletes to know who's really their friends. Who's your circle? Like, who are the people that are really for you as an athlete? And that's tough, because now you're in a position, in a place where you don't know who your friends are, but you also don't know who you can talk to about the everyday stuff that people deal with, because you don't know if someone's going to try to expose you, put you out there on Twitter, on social media. It becomes a very lonely place, and that's tough for athletes.
I don't know if I've ever thought about it in this way, but I appreciate what you said. Thinking about, like, influencing, you know, Jesus became an ultimate influencer, right? Of course, the things that he did in the ancient world, like that went viral, mm-hmm. right? Without technology, yeah. The healings and the miracles and all of that. And he chose his team around him, not the most popular. In fact, like the opposite of that. We're talking about people without many followers themselves, mm-hmm. right? If we're thinking about social media language and building his team and would we say, I don't know, it'd be weird to say that, like, he was like 11 for 12, like the team that he chose, the 12 people around
yeah.
him, like 11 of those were good choices.
Right.
One of them was like, yeah, that wasn't a good
great
choice. Clearly he knew what he was doing. Uh-huh. Right. What's the, like, I mean, you're a part of these cultures that have these just vicious cycles of, like, pulling people this way or that. And you've talked about values already, you know, to ground you, because otherwise, if you don't have values in the world of sport, like, it'll chew you up, right? Oh, yeah. The world of celebrity, it'll chew you up. So give us some other ideas of, like, advice that you give to people or that you would give to people who might be navigating some of these spaces where you just get pushed and pulled so many different directions?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, I kind of alluded to it early on, is know your people. You have to know your circle, and it's okay to not have an entourage. You're probably better off not having a huge amount of people that at the end of the day, you can't feed all those people. And if you do, you'll go dry. And I would say you have to find a way to stay grounded through prayer, meditating. And I want to talk, and if you're not a Christian, there's a reason why, you know, the Bible is life-changing. I can read this same scripture over and over every year, and God will speak to me differently because it's alive. And God can speak to you where you're at. And as an athlete, if you don't take time to have something to ground you, that's where anxiety and mental health just goes south. And without having that outlet of being able to be grounded, and also a very, very practical thing, do stuff that you love to do. You know, I enjoy playing video games. I know a lot of my fellow athletes love video games. Do those things as well, because it gives you a mental break, take some of the stress off, so then you can be able to navigate through these crazy choppy waters of being an athlete.
You know, I think a lot of athletes out there can resonate with this idea that there are routines and practices that we can sometimes drift away from that cause us to lose our footing or lose our edge, lose our grounding. And sometimes that's just paying attention to our fitness. Mm-hmm. It might be paying attention to just some basic drills, some movements that you started with, you kind of go back to. And sometimes just rediscovering those in a new way can reinvigorate you out on the field, whatever it is. Yeah. And you've made that sort of connection to what many people would call just sort of raw material of following Christ, which is read your Bible, mm-hmm. pray, meditate. Rest. Simplicity, mm-hmm. right? Some of those things that they aren't flashy, and yet they are the building blocks, the raw material of a life of faith, and so important to sort of stem the tide against some of those temptations that come in many different forms. If you're an athlete, we know it's going to be glamour, the people around you, even self-delusion, some of those things that can all happen in sport. So yeah, no, I thank you for raising those sorts of things for us. You've written a book, and you had a purpose for that book, mm-hmm. and maybe many. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. This book is the book I wish I had when I was in college. I remember talking to my best friend and actually my roommate after I came out of two-a-days and said, I wish I had something to help me navigate through these different things I didn't know I was going to encounter in college. I mean, during two-a-days, I was reading Proverbs every day. I was told to do that, you know, wisdom, book of wisdom. And it was applicable, because if I started training camp or two-a-days on the 15th, I would just start from the 15th and go on, because there's 31 in there. But for this book, no one told me about how to deal with girls in that way, how they are going to, not just girls, but even girls and people who are trying to attach themselves to you because of your celebrity status on campus. No one told me about the jealousy of your own teammates. Hmm. No one really told me about those things, or the spiritual endurance it's going to take to deal with what's coming. I also, no one told me about, you know, the politics of being on a D1 football team. And what does that look like when certain players are connected to this or connected to this possible draft. So you may have to take a backseat. I mean, there's so many different issues. That's why there's 100 devotionals in this book. So that you can be able to add it to your tool belt and then think of like, oh man, I need to pick my head up. What do I do when I get injured? Because it's just cutthroat. It's cutthroat at this level. You get injured and if you, I mean, they'll give you a chance, but they have someone else chomping at the bit ready to play. My very first time getting into a game was because the guy in front of me did not condition well enough. He was so out of shape that he was gassed on the field. And then the next guy who was behind him was injured. I was up next. And I had to be ready, you know? And then I get in a game and then it was all she wrote at that moment, you know? So no one tells you about a lot of these issues that I'm tackling in this book. And so that's why I was super passionate about making sure I can provide a cheat code for athletes in every sport. And if you call yourself a leader, to be able to apply this to your life.
So it's called Lead with Faith, Play with Purpose, a 100-day devotional for athletes. Mm-hmm. Give us a sense, Andy, for like, what does each 1-day devotional look like? I mean, I love how you described like the issues, right? No one told me how to do this. No one told me how to do that. Yeah. This is a cheat code, right? These are like life hacks for athletes.
For sure.
From the Bible, right? What does each day look like in this book?
Yeah. When you open up the book, you're going to get a scripture. It starts off with a scripture that you can read. So I immediately get you connected to the Bible. And then there's pregame. When you warm up, the pregame, there's questions to get you started, get your mind going, thought-provoking, and then we dive into game time. There's game time. That's the meat of the devotional, the topic that we're tackling, and then there's post-game. After every game, there's some type of post-game keys or talks that you get from your coach evaluating how it just went down, and I give you some post-game keys to remember or a little bit of homework for you to try for your week or during that time frame in your life. And then I end it with a prayer. And each one is set up that way so that you can be able to know. As I go into it, I know I'm going to get exposed to a scripture. I can talk about this with myself and God, or I can do this in a group amongst people. And it causes such cool conversation. And then you get to know more about yourself and other people than you realize.
Yeah, that's that. In terms of a formula, that seems like a fantastic way to approach each one of them. And we will, I can't wait to get our, you know, get our hands on a copy of that book and be able to kind of experience with you. Mm-hmm. And we'll put, you know, that sort of information into our blog post as well, so people can find it on our website. But I wonder, could I ask you then, I'm presuming a lot of these stories mm-hmm. come from your own experience, come from your own life. And I wonder if I could ask you to just pull one mm-hmm. and sort of lead us through one devotional as maybe a way to wrap this up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. I just rolled the run. Okay. So, yes, these are pulling from my life and different situations and athletes too. This one's called No Honor in Arguing, Proverbs 23. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Pre-game, have you noticed that games, matches, meets, competitions, and practices can sometimes get intense? Have you ever been in a heated argument at practice, during a game, or at a competition with a teammate, opponent, fan, or coach? Have you ever felt like you needed to prove yourself or defend your point of view, even if it meant getting into an argument? I think all of us have.
There you have it.
I played running back in college, and my freshman year was one of the hardest years of my life. Like other first-year students, I went from the familiarity of living at home with my family and having a particular schedule to moving into a dorm with strangers, away from my comfortable surroundings and friends. I didn't know anyone except my new teammates, with whom I had been doing two-a-days for a few days. This environment is tough. You feel like you have something to prove to everyone because you are a freshman. new to the program and you want to make a great impression so your peers and coaches like you. Plus, you want to do well so you can find your place on a team and play that season. One particular day at practice, I was on the scout team, which means you run the plays of your opponents against your own team's starting offense or defense. The starting defense was on the field, and I was on the scout team offense. The coach told me to run the ball at just 50% of my speed. When I received the ball to run the play, I did what I was told and barely ran through the line. Out of nowhere, I was hit so hard by one of the starting defensive players that I was completely lifted off the turf, and the back of my shoulders was the first part of my body to violently become reacquainted with the turf. Following the hit, and I'll never forget that, guys, the defensive player stood over me and said, "Welcome to college football." Thankfully, the hit didn't hurt as much as it bruised my ego. I hopped up quickly, and while I didn't hit him, I did give him a piece of my mind by verbally lashing out, which resulted in an argument, and that was definitely not the answer. Without guidance, God, and grace, it's extremely hard not to always feel stressed in sports. I love how the Christian Standard Bible translates Proverbs 23. Honor belongs to the person who ends a dispute, but any fool can get himself into a quarrel. The honor in this next text means respect, splendor, glory, reputation. Avoiding conflict and choosing peace are signs of a wise person who has self-control and does not operate foolishly. If I had kept my mouth shut, said nothing, and headed back to the huddle, I would have kept the peace and appeared wise. Instead, I opened my mouth, looked foolish, and lost some respect from my coaches and teammates. We're not to be hotheads. If we want to be leaders on our teams and in our communities, we must work to remain cool, calm, and collected. This is how Jesus carried himself, and this is how God wants us to be. We are to be promoters of peace, so don't give the devil a chance to cause disruption and division. The more time we spend with God and learning about Jesus, the more we learn how to discern when it's appropriate to engage or disengage from a situation. Let's pray. Dear God, help me to think before I react in a situation that could cause strife. I want to be a person of wisdom, not foolish actions. Help me be more like Jesus among my teammates, my opponents, and everyone I come into contact with. Amen. And then there's post-game keys. You know, Proverbs 23 is a key scripture that will help you navigate life. Take this week to memorize it so it can be a major part of the soundtrack of your life. Number two, this week, take time to notice and be aware of your interactions and emotions. When you are in contact with other people, practice choosing wisdom instead of foolishness. And number three, practice talking to God throughout the day as you would a friend, and not just at the beginning of your day, at mealtime, or before bed. This will help you have God at the forefront of your mind throughout the day and allow him to guide your responses and actions.
Andy, I want to have you in the soundtrack of my life, just reading just like that. That's what I want. Every day, you reading one of those. That my life would be so good.
Thank you.
we may need to wait for the audio version.
That's coming too.
Eloquent and perfect and wise. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to write these things down, to put them all in a book, and to make them known for us here. We wish you certainly all the best as you walk forward with this and all your endeavors. Thanks so much for coming on to Sport Faith Life. It's been a lot of fun to get to know you even a little. And we look forward to maybe talking again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. It was an honor and a pleasure to be able to chat with you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything Sport Faith Life. We'll be right back.